Morning.
Good morning.
I see that everyone's here, so you're all being good little Quakers and not playing the lottery, so that's good. We can all stand and sing My Wonderful Lord, hymn number 368. Dear Heavenly Father, we appreciate this beautiful fall weather you've given us this week. And thank you for everything. Yesterday you cleared up the rain right before the Pumpkin Festival at Quaker Lake, and that was a big success. Please lead us and guide us and Open our hearts to your word so we can do your work this week and forever. Amen.
Well, good morning.
Good morning, Bob.
It's good to have everyone here this morning on this absolutely beautiful day. It is nice to go outside and say, ooh, just God's letting you know that he's still in control and he wants to bite you with a little bit of cold air. But it feels wonderful this morning. I'm glad to see everyone here. If this is your first time visiting with us, we'd love to have a record of that. And there's a visitor card in the pew. It just asks for your name, an email address, or phone number. If you would like to be part of our newsletter and receive things that are going on here at Center, that's one way of doing that, is by email. It's kind of a non-invasive, keep-in-touch kind of way that we'd like to offer and extend to our visitors. This morning, are there any announcements that need to be made?
Tomorrow night, I know everybody's used to the Sunday morning breakfast, but Quaker Men will meet tomorrow night at 6:30 for dinner. And Mary Ann Yao, who is the founder of Easter's Promise here in Pleasant Garden, will be with us tomorrow evening to talk more about that ministry.
You got a good deal planned.
I do. So, yes.
Yes, by all means, men of the meeting, bring your sons, your friends, your neighbors. It's a great time of fellowship and a really good time of eating. Are there any other announcements?
Tommy, a lot of birthdays in October. A lot of people have come and gone that had October birthdays, but we got a special one here, Whitney. She's hiding behind a pen. Her day is today. Happy birthday, Whitney.
Yes, happy birthday to my boss lady. And I promised her that I would not be the one to stand up and say that, so it's great to have others that are willing to sacrifice. So happy birthday to her, and please make sure you extend that warm birthday to her. And everybody this week, we've got quite a few. I want to make mention of something that's coming up in November, so you can go ahead and put it on your calendar. Thanksgiving Day at 9 a.m. We're going to have a Thanksgiving devotion, Thanksgiving time of worship and devotion. It'll be a time where you can come in. I will have a short message, a very short devotional, and then it'll be a time of just silence and open worship, and a time that you can sit and realize what all we're thankful for. I was speaking to someone this morning about being blessed and how we sometimes take advantage of all the things that God provides for us. And this is a time where we can actually thank him back. And so Thanksgiving Day, 9 o'clock, and the worship room will be open. We'd love to have you here. Come dressed as you are. It's not a formal thing. We'd just love to have you here and love to have you in the spirit. Any others?
Our 4-H club has been collecting hygiene supplies for the people hit by the hurricanes. Shampoo, soap, toothbrushes, toothpaste, deodorant, chapstick, lotion, hairbrush, toilet paper. All these items will be taken down to Jones County from now through November. If you can help, please let us know. Thank you.
It's a wonderful thing. The 4-H club is gathering hygiene items to take down to Jones County. Is that right? And we're in Jones County for the hurricane relief. That's an awesome ministry opportunity.
Tommy, Christian is going to meet right after worship in the classroom back here, right behind. Is it the Hackney Marine? Yeah, just for a few minutes.
Okay.
Hey, Tommy. Okay. Heather just asked her this morning how the pumpkin festival went. I didn't know if anybody else was going to stand up for that. Sorry if I just told it for me. She said around 2,100 people was the total count after they counted till I don't know how late last night. There were over 230 volunteers. So however you got the word out, thank you. Because you did a great job. Make sure you remember how you got it out so you can do it next year. She said we were only about 300 less than last year, but she'll take that with a rainy start, and she's so thankful for all the people that make it happen. And I know a lot of you were there. I saw you there yesterday. And it was just a great day of connection and fellowship in the yard with us.
Tommy, we had a celebration by Autumn Major for middle school. She's only sixth grader that made it.
So she'll be working quite a bit. Keep that
quite a bit, and she's in another cheerleading squad. So.
Awesome. That is awesome. One last thing I want to mention is the trunk or treat next Sunday between 3 and 5:30. I challenge each one of you to come decorate your car. There'll be some contests. Bring your neighbors, your friends, total strangers, anybody you meet in the grocery store, invite them to come. It's a great time to have a local outreach for Center. It'll be out here in the parking lot. There'll be hot dogs, crafts, games, and that sort of thing, special events it's putting on. So that's next Sunday at 3 o'clock. Are there any others? If not, will our ushers come forward for our tithes and offerings? Let us pray. Father God, we come to you this morning with hearts of thanksgiving, with praise and worship, but with also with needs and requests, Lord. We thank you for the ability to be able to come to you. And we thank you for all the provisions that you have provided to not only this meeting, but all the churches and all the Christians and all those who are questioning, that you give those provisions to erase all doubt. Lord, I thank you so much that we're able to have the ability to gather and pray. Take these offerings, bless them, place your hand upon them, and give us directions as we can use those blessings to further your kingdom. In the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen.
Thank you. What's going on with the trees outside? Changing? Are there lots of different colors on the trees now, Lincoln? Do you like the leaves changing? How about you, Gabe? Or do you prefer summer? I'm kind of a summer girl myself, but I think it's really cool in fall. Colors so many different things outside and how everything changes and it's new. So what I want you guys to think about today is when the leaves change and there's all this variety, it kind of reminds me of God wanting all of us to use our differences and our different talents to make good in the world. For example, I don't know that I am the best at being the children's vocal leader, but I'm going to make an effort and try something different. It's fall, and we're doing some different things. And have a little bit of scripture. It comes from 1 Peter, verse 10. It says, each of you should use whatever gifts you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace and in various forms. So can you guys think of anything that you can do to show God's grace to others? Be nice. Thank you, Lady. She told you. Be nice is a good thing. Can we use our talents as singers, as we're in the choir, or telling stories like Tommy, or being good at starting worship like Alan? So we all have talents. I want y'all to remember that. As you see the leaves change, think about all of our different talents and how blessed we are that God gave us those talents and use them. So let's say a little prayer, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for each and every one of these children. Thank you for each and every one of their beautiful talents. And thank you for the reminder of your beauty and your grace here with the beautiful fall leaves changing and this nice cool weather. Be with each of us this week and help us to show your love and your will to others. In your name we pray. Amen.
This time we'll go into a time of prayer requests and praises. The first thing I want to bring up is this week the Highway Patrol suffered a loss of a trooper who was shot and killed in the line of duty. As you know, we have a trooper in our midst, Justin, who's out working this week. And many times him and I have walked up to cars and not knowing what's on the other side of that window. And that's exactly what happened with that trooper. He walked up to the car and lost his life pretty instantly. So we need to lift up the Highway Patrol and law enforcement and the family of Kevin Connor, who was the trooper that passed away. I think he had two children and a wife he left behind. So we need to remember all of our law enforcement and public safety as they walk into an unknown and basically leave it to God's will at that point. Are there any others? Has God blessed anybody this week? I will say it's a blessing for this cool weather. Melissa was talking about the changing of the leaves. It's God's way of telling us that he is in control. That is a blessing. And I encourage you to be able to see that and to clear that focus and that vision so you can see God working, because whether or not you know it, he's working. So are there anything else? Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, We know that while not many was mentioned, there are needs in our community, in our church, and in our world. You know the hearts and minds of those who communicate with you through prayer. You know the will that you exact on their lives. And you know the things that they're facing, the troubles and the trials, the questions, the doubts. You know those. You know not everything has to be said publicly. It is that interpersonal relationship that you give us the ability to have with you, that you constantly revealing yourself to us so that we can see you in our lives. Lord, I lift up the North Carolina State Highway Patrol this morning and the loss of Kevin Connor. Lift up his family and his friends, his coworkers, and law enforcement across the country. Lord, we know there's evil in the world, but we also know that evil hides in darkness, and that it is through the light shining from you that the evil is identified, and that the evil trembles at your almighty power. Lord, give those folks a peace of mind and a peace of heart that they can understand, that they can see you working, and that they can see you blessing their lives. Help them get through this troubled time. Give them grace and peace and comfort. Lord, if there's one here this morning that does not know you, I pray that you touch them this morning. You fill this place with your Holy Spirit, and that you break their heart. You pierce that rock and allow the emotion to flow. Allow that revelation to happen and allow that relationship to bloom. We thank you for all the many blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.
We have come to know.
My message this morning is coming out of the book of Matthew. But before we dig deep into the scripture, I have to ask, you don't have to answer, can you handle it all? Can you do it all? Do you feel like you have to? I do sometimes. And the heart of the message this morning is a life coach. There was a story this morning that I found. It was a young police officer was taking his final exam for the police academy. He read the following question in the exam paper. You were on patrol in the outer city when an explosion occurs in a gas main in a nearby street. On investigation, you find that there's a large hole has been blown in the footpath, and there's an overturned van nearby. Inside the van, there's a strong smell of alcohol. Both occupants, a man and woman, are injured. You immediately recognize the woman as the wife of your chief of police, who is at present away in the USA somewhere. A passing motorist stops to offer you assistance, and you realize that he's a man who's wanted for armed robbery. Suddenly, a man runs, shouting that his wife is expecting out of a nearby house, expecting a baby, and that the shock of the explosion has made the birth imminent. Another man is crying for help, having been blown in the adjacent canal by the explosion. He can't swim. The exam concluded, describe in a few words what actions you would take. The young man thought for a moment, picked up his pen, and wrote, I would take my uniform off and mingle with the crowd. How many times do we want to do that? How many times do we have those explosions and those emergencies and those things and stuff that sometimes we just want to just mingle with the crowd? I just want to be like everybody else because everybody else seems just happy-go-lucky, but yet for some reason I feel like I've got 3,001 things to do. Everything's coming at me at once. I don't know which way to turn. I don't know the direction. I don't know a priority list. I just want to mingle with the crowd. Now, the police officer was being bombarded with different scenarios, and his answer was to give up and mingle with the group. Did you know there are people who actually make money helping others figure themselves out and figure out the direction they need to go? People make money telling people to get themselves together. In today's society, people hire life coaches. Someone here may have or did have a life coach at one time, and I'm not speaking one way or the other about them because I've never experienced one, so I have no opinion either way. But what is a life coach? Well, typical fashion for me, I Googled it and found this definition. One life coach explained that it is a profession that is profoundly different from consulting, mentoring, advising, therapy, or counseling. The coaching process addresses specific personal projects, business successes, general conditions and transitions in the client's personal life, relationships, or profession by examining what is going on right now, discovering what the obstacles or challenges are, and choosing a course of action to make your life be what you want it to be. Now, with the exception of the last line about what we want it to be, doesn't that sound awful familiar? As a Christian, we go through life with so many differences, so many experiences, so many explosions and births and tragedies and stuff and work and retirement and life change and aging. Some are good, some are bad. We may have different scenarios pop up at one time, like the police officer in the story. How do we handle it all? In our scripture this morning, Jesus is going to give us the how-to for prayer. But through his prayer to God, he's also given us the how-to live as a follower and a child of God. So let's look at our scripture this morning. It's Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13, a familiar passage. And Jesus says, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, a lot of us know there's a doxology at the end that man has added, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. But as far as Jesus' words, that is what we're going to focus on this morning. And we're going to go through this line by line with our life coach. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. A Christian lives acknowledging that God is our Holy Father. As a believer, we recognize that God is the Father of all creation. As the Father, we acknowledge and worship that He created all things, including us, in His image. Paul writes to the Corinthians, "Yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist." God is not a distant deity. He is not some thing that we look at and pray to. He is not an object. He's an involved dad. He's the dad that all of us want. And He's the dad that all of us can have. He's the perfect blend of love and fairness, but also correction. He's the Father that is to be respected, honored, and loved back. And in return, He is a Father who provides, protects, teaches, loves, and forgives. Your kingdom come. A Christian lives with the hope, what a great word, with the hope of His kingdom being present here on earth and in our lives. As followers of Christ, we are joyful that God's kingdom is in us, and it is for us. It is around us, and it is to come for us. It is a realization of what we have in Christ now and what we will receive in Christ when He returns. Your kingdom come. I told someone the other day that, and you may have heard me say this in the past, the book of Revelation is one of my most favorite books of the Bible. And some people, it scares. Some people, it confuses. Some people are like, ugh. They get all twisted up inside. It makes them uncomfortable. But the best part about Revelation is we win in the end. That's why I like it. It's the end of the story, and we win. We have the hope of His kingdom, and we have the task of contributing to the expansion of that kingdom here on earth, sharing the message of a loving Father who waits with an eternal kingdom for His children. Your kingdom come. Yes, please come. And let's tell others of the kingdom. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. A Christian lives in submission, that it is His will and not ours. So alternately from that life coach message where it says, we make your life choices so that it is what you want. No. God makes our life to what He wants. And because what He wants, it is what we want. Remember I said last Sunday what amen meant. It meant so be it. And it was first brought in the Old Testament. Amen, so be it. And as we talk to God, we end with, so be it. Submitting to God's will is extremely difficult. As life goes on, we're challenged and hurt and confused. But alternately, we're blessed and we're loved and supported. It is in God's will where we find that direction in our lives. We find that guidance and that coaching. Shouldn't we all want God's will? Why don't we ask for it? Because we're afraid of the answer? Absolutely. If we trust Him to direct our entire lives and guide our heart, and we trust that he loves us unconditionally, why don't we ask for it? I couldn't think of any other better confirmation to ask to say, you know, Lord, you have it all. Thank you. You're giving me everything. Here is my life. Do with it. So be it. We are resigning ourselves to fate, but we pray that God's perfect purpose will be accomplished in this life and the next. We need to be turning ourselves towards faith and not fate. How about we dissolve that resignation and submit to the will of God, and let's go and serve God's purpose for us, God's will for us, God's plan for us. Bishop Foss Westcott said, "The will of God will be done, but oh, the unspeakable loss for us if we've missed our opportunity of doing it." We'll repeat that. The will of God will be done, but oh, the unspeakable loss for us if we've missed our opportunity of doing it. Give us today our daily bread. A Christian lives with the comfort that God will provide our daily needs. It's pretty straightforward. Most folks know, give us today our daily bread. Do we expect a loaf of bread to appear on the kitchen table every morning? No. God going to send a bread truck to the house? Maybe. If one shows up at my house this week, I'm going to be in some serious prayer. But we have comfort. Martin Luther wrote in 1529, "What does daily bread mean? Everything that nourishes our body and meets its needs, such as food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, yard, fields, cattle, money, possessions, devout spouse, devout children, devout employees, devout and faithful rulers, good government, peace, health, discipline, honor, good friends, faithful neighbors, and other things like these." Our daily necessities. The Israelites in Exodus were given manna each day, and they were strictly told, only gather enough for your day's provisions. And then the next day, only gather enough for your daily provisions, because it would only last a day. So God would provide another day's worth of manna for the Israelites. God provides our daily manna. Where we're to go out and gather enough for our day. We gather too much, we become a little gluttonous. And that tends to lead to some bad life coaching. But gather enough, because God will provide it. Forgive us our debts. Oh, here we go. Here we go asking for stuff. A Christian lives in receipt of God's grace. A Christian lives in receipt of God's grace. We know, because we are told, that if we ask for forgiveness with a clean and pure heart, with a true heart, He will give it. There's not a shadow, there's not a maybe, there's not a sometimes. God's grace, one of the most wonderful aspects of having that relationship with our Lord, as we acknowledge that God is the Father, and that there's a kingdom for us if it is His will, and that He will provide all of our necessities, there's that one thing that makes us a little uncomfortable, asking for forgiveness. That's the hard part to me. Facing our God in prayer, admitting our wrongs, exposing that raw nerve, ripping that Band-Aid off and saying, I've done something bad. I thought something ugly. I didn't help someone. I drove by them. I didn't speak to someone because I didn't like what they said last Sunday. I didn't like what they had the same clothes on as I did. It's that raw action, that raw thought that we pull back the veil and we expose sins. But I have good news. Because Christ died for us, because he was that ultimate sacrifice, we are saved by God's grace through his death and resurrection. We have peace knowing that God will forgive us if we have a repentant heart, because no one is perfect. 1 John 1, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. There's not a maybe if you sign a contract. There's not a if you give so much in the offering plate. There's not a if you pray 10 times a day. It is if you confess. Here's this next hardest one. As we also have forgiven our debtors. A Christian lives challenged that just as we have received God's grace, we must also extend that same grace to those who have sinned against us. It's that turn that other cheek kind of thing. Forgiving someone is as difficult as asking for forgiveness. There must be sincerity on both sides. As a Christian, we have to. There isn't a may. It's a must that we forgive those who have wronged us if they truly ask for forgiveness. Christ tells us in Luke 17, so watch yourselves. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. And if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times come back to you saying, I repent, you must forgive them. It's not a multiple choice test. There's one right answer. This can be a challenge to accomplish because we may have a certain feeling against someone who's angered us or hurt us, but if they approach with a repenting heart, asking for forgiveness, we have the duty to forgive them. Because Christ forgives us. Christ died for our forgiveness, so we can have that forgiveness. Paul addresses it to the Ephesians, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. You expend more energy being mad or unforgiving than you would if you found the place of forgiveness. It will sour your soul to the core. You have to ask God to break that hardness inside you and give you the softness and the love and the grace to extend it to your brother or sister. We're only here for a short time, and I certainly do not want to spend it being mad. I don't want to spend it pushing people away or continuing a situation where I'm preventing others from seeing the light of Christ in me, because that sourness becomes a dark veil over the light. And lead us not into temptation. A Christian lives confidently, knowing that God will never lead them into temptation or evil. We have a peace in ourselves, knowing that God doesn't tempt us, nor do we tempt God. We better not. James 1, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. It isn't God that pulls us away or pushes us away from him. God isn't in the business of leading us down paths of unrighteousness. We cannot blame God for committing sin. We see in Genesis that Adam and Eve ate of the tree under the influence of the serpent. God didn't tell them to eat. In fact, he told them the other way. Don't eat. Temptation is around us daily. It comes in many forms. I looked up temptation in the thesaurus. And here's some interesting words that were synonyms to temptation. Let's see how pleasant they sound. Allurement, bait, coaxing, decoy, enticement, provocation, seduction, and snare. Those words just conjure up some kind of yuck when you hear them. God doesn't tempt. But deliver us from the evil one. A Christian lives in the safety of God's protection. He is the protector. He is the shield. He provides the armor, and believers have that security of their spirit that God will protect them from evil. Isaiah 41, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Jesus gave the model prayer to his disciples. A Christian acknowledges his Father. A Christian lives with the hope. A Christian lives in submission, but with comfort and in receipt of grace that we must impart on our neighbor. And in doing so, we live confidently and safely that God is our life coach, that we know that we can communicate with him in our prayer time. It is through the teachings of Christ that we know our prayer time is that specific instance where we can experience each of those things: comfort, safety, hope, and grace, and daily provisions. He provides our direction, our purpose, our goals, our needs in exchange for our accepting his power and love to spread to others, creating a Christian life for God's kingdom. No one needs to hire a life coach to figure that out. You don't. All you have to do is pray. Jesus gave his disciples that simple guide right here. It's a church, it's a body of believers. God is our life coach. I'm going to read that life coach description again. You tell me if this is God. The coaching process addresses specific personal projects, business successes, general conditions and transitions in the client's personal life, relationships, or profession by examining what's going on right now, discovering what obstacles and challenges might be, and choosing a course of action to make your life be what God wants it to be. If you need that life coach, if you're feeling like that police academy student where you just want to mingle with the crowd, just pray. Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." If you don't have that confidence and that hope, that grace, you feeling unsafe because of temptation around you, this is your time. This is that time where you say, "I need you as my life coach, Lord. I need to feel those things." Now, as we go into an open worship, our time of quiet and our time of stilling our minds, take this time to silence your mind and silence your heart. Allow God to do the work. Allow him to do the coaching. If you feel led and want to break the silence, stand and share briefly what God has placed on your heart. If you need to pray and you don't know how, I'll be right here. You come and I'll pray with you. God is our life coach. All we have to do is talk. Grace, confidence, submission, safety, provisions, and protection. God is our life coach. Heavenly Father, I thank you again so much for the ability to deliver your word. I thank you for this room of believers and this room of lights, Lord. Lord, it is through life that we see that we need you as our coach. We need to be praying to you. And we thank you for Jesus Christ who gave us this model prayer. And it addresses all aspects of our lives. Lord, touch us, break us, let us feel your presence this morning. If there's one here that needs that coach, Lord, let them feel your presence. Let them feel your existence and your Holy Spirit working inside of them. Touch them, love them, forgive them. We thank you for your Son, Jesus.
Thank you, Tommy. We all stand and sing hymn number 98, verses 1 and 3.
Son Jesus Christ, who died for us so that we can be forgiven. Lord, challenge us this week as we go out to spread the gospel of the good news. Give us that comfort, that protection, so that we can submit to your will. We thank you, we love you, we praise you. In Jesus' holy name, amen.